Good morning. This is Faber McMullen with Union Grove Baptist Church, and I'm here with
Larry Waddell
and Sandy McMullen.
Hey guys, it looks like this is going to be our last week that we're going to be meeting here through the podcast because I've talked to everybody, and we're going to start next week there back at the Grove, which would be May the 10th, which is going to be Mother's Day. And we're going to practice social distancing and ask everybody to not be hugging and be all over others. Wanted to tell you all, we have a wonderful system in our church called the Remy Halo system, which sanitizes all the air that moves through there. So we'll keep our blowers going. And that's throughout the entire facility. It was something, interestingly enough, that we added, guys, about 4 months ago, not knowing that any of this would happen. So let's start off and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've had as a congregation to reflect on you and, Lord, look into your word and realize we have nothing to fear. And Lord, this morning, help us each to gain a real understanding of faith and how it means and what it looks like. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Larry, I think you wanted to have a couple of songs for us.
Yeah. About faith. Yeah, we got a few songs here. First one will be, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that He leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since Kithrough Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank you, Larry. And Larry, why'd you pick that out? I'm just curious.
Because, you know, at this time right now, you know, we need to turn to God, and He can lead us through this pandemic and whatever we're going through.
Amen. So. Amen. I think you had another one, didn't you?
Yeah. We have It Is No Secret. And the reason for this song is kind of the same theme that, you know, it's no secret what God can do. We worry about all these things, but really God's in charge, and He can take care of anything. So it's really not a secret. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew? Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you.
like God can do. There is no night, for in His light you never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise, no run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
You know, guys, when I was thinking about, this is probably our last podcast, unless we keep making podcasts, which we could do.
Wednesday, we will.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, we will have a podcast on Wednesday. But, of course, next week on Mother's Day, we're going to start up our services again. But I ended up, as I wrote out some notes, last night I ended up with this quote, and I'm not quoting anybody. This is what came into my mind. Fear takes us over the cliff, but faith takes us to the rock.
Amen. That's a good word.
It is a good word. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, fear always runs us over a cliff, but faith sets our feet on a rock. And I ended up finding a verse that where David is actually saying that, you know, Lord, you've put me on a rock. And there's a lot of that in there. We've talked about that. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, please open to Hebrews chapter 11. Although we're going to jump around talking about faith and have a discussion about faith. If you go to Hebrews 11, verse 13, this is kind of the piece that jumps out at me. And this is a chapter about faith in action. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about fear. The three of us have talked about fear. And I've told y'all over and over and over from the pulpit that there is no room for fear in the heart of a believer. And together we've claimed certain promises that we looked up concerning fear. We started with 1 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And of course, the beautiful line out of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I think it's kind of incredible that for 5 or 6 weeks prior to COVID ever coming, without us knowing, the Lord took our congregation into Psalm 23 that was all about the troubles that we go through, about how we have to go through the valley. I mean, it's really amazing how God prepared our hearts for exactly what we've experienced. And then we talked about in these past weeks that worry is what accompanies fear, and it's the opposite of faith and trust. Faith says God is able. Fear says God can't do this. God is not able. And then worry says, I've got to control this myself to try to get the outcome because God can't take care of it. Faith says I can trust God with any and everything that might come against me, while fear cowers, faith stands. You know, fear gets you into the corner, makes you hopeless, makes you feel helpless, and you're not. Fear frets, faith prays. While fear looks within at one's own strength, and that's where we go, man, I don't have the strength to overcome this. Well, that's what faith's all about. You don't need the strength to overcome anything. Faith, instead of looking to self, looks to Jesus, who is the author and the creator of all things. So I'm going to ask both of y'all, what is faith really, before we jump in here?
Well, faith's I forget the words, but it's believing in something unseen. I forget those words there that you have that faith that this is true. This is what's going to happen. We believe that Jesus was manifested and died for our sins. We take that upon faith. Now, we see it in the Bible, the proof of it, but we take it upon faith that we have a life after this in heaven.
Well, not only that, we have a life here in spite of our hardships. I think the verse you're going after is the one in chapter 11 that says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, in assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So, you know, Larry, I think what you're saying is just faith is being certain of things that we aren't able to see.
Absolutely.
With our eyes. It's the absolute belief, guys, that God is in charge and what goes on in every area of my life and your life is in His control. It holds true even when we may not be able to see tangible proof. You know, you can, God, are you in charge of this? Lord, are you looking out for me? And I have to say that through this entire COVID-19, I've prayed that the Lord would put a hedge of protection around all of us in Union Grove, and not only us, but you know, all that listen to this podcast. And and so far as I know, none of us have gotten it, at least not yet. So, you know, I'm gonna just trust God we're not gonna get it. Faith says, Lord, I believe that you are Lord of my life. And the interesting thing is fear at its core is just unbelief. It's the belief that, it's the unbelief that God is in control of what's happening to me. I think, oh no, God is not in control of this. God doesn't know this is happening to me. I've got to try to do something to fix it. And that's where anxiety comes in. You think, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing anything? And then you get paralyzed where you can't do anything. And so today we're going to talk about this. We've read that, and I just want to read Hebrews 11, verse 13. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. Who are we talking about, Sandy? Who are all of these people?
All the people he's mentioned in the chapter so far.
There was Abel, there was Enoch, there was Abraham, there was Noah. He kind of goes through the chronological history of folks that received some kind of a promise from God. And they died even really where they had not seen the promises completely done. So it says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting, and I think this is so cool, that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Guys, you and I are foreigners and strangers on the earth. We know that the things of the world are at war with the things of God. So we're really not of the world. We're in this world, but we don't need to be of the world. And we can listen to the heartbeat of the Lord when we have faith that He's going to do what He says He'll do. And recently, or I've told y'all that, you know, how do I increase my faith? Well, do y'all remember Romans 10:17? That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It means that faith increases our understanding of God's promises. Because what happens is when we get into the Word, we begin to realize, well, wait, God's promised He'll never leave me or forsake me. God's promised that He's going to direct my paths. God's promised all these things. Faith says, I'm going to believe what God promises, and I'm going to live my life like I believe it, or live my life knowing it. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Then the writer of Hebrews goes through and talks about specifically acts that Abraham did about offering Isaac, saying, you know, God, I don't know why you're asking me to do this, but in faith, I'm going to do it. He goes on and he talks about Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And then when Jacob was dying, how he said certain prophecies over each of his kids. And then by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. You know, Pharaoh had issued this edict that all the Jewish boys were going to be killed. Hey, it took a lot of faith. What was Moses' mother's name?
Jochebed.
Something like that. Yeah. But anyway, and remember his sister was Miriam, and she followed the little ark as it wound its way through the weeds and saw Pharaoh's daughter take, but it took a lot of faith for that mother just to take that little,
put it in a little basket,
and stick it out on the water and watch it go away, you know. And then Moses had faith, even though he had been raised as prince of Egypt, he had this faith to realize that when he heard God's calling there in Midian, when he left and saw the burning bush, he had faith to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And I'm sure it was hard for him to turn around and go right back to the place where he was hated and where they were looking at killing him. And it goes on and on in 11 and talks us about this. So anyway, we increase our faith, y'all, and I think in two ways. One, we increase it by truly receiving the Word of God, spending time in the Word like you've done, Larry. I mean, you've done probably, I'm not, maybe I'm wrong, but probably more Bible study in the last year than you've done.
Oh, ever, yeah. Well,
tell us about it. Tell us about
the Odyssey. I got started with just doing it with my niece and nephew up in Michigan, and now it's I have a pastor in Beaumont and people in Nederland. I have people in Arizona, people in Eagle Lake, and it's like it's grown. People are just, I send this out each week, and it's fantastic.
And do you feel your faith increasing through all this?
Absolutely.
And you know what?
I learn as much as they do by doing it.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And not only are you just reading through the Bible now, I can see the Bible becoming part of who you actually are.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Your spiritual muscles. Has it stopped the hardships in your life?
Oh, no.
How has it affected the hardships?
It's made them very bearable, knowing that you know that I'll get through those. It's not a big deal. They're not so devastating anymore, I guess you'd say.
Well, I want to jump in here and just point out something. I was thinking about fear and faith, because in my mind I was weighing fear and faith. If we did not have the hard times and the things that provoke fear in us, we would never plumb the depths of our faith.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if we don't have something to trust God about, if everything's hunky-dory and nothing ever goes wrong, then we don't really have to use our spiritual muscles. We don't have to trust God if everything's just going along fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good word.
That is a biblical word from the Lord.
When we pass through this coronavirus issue, ever how long it takes, it's going to define our faith and make it stronger.
Amen.
Yeah. As I told y'all, you know, we're passing through COVID-19 now. COVID-20 is on its way. That's just a metaphor for whatever else is coming our way. And Sandy has said these hardships give us muscles. And if you turn to James chapter 1, verse 2, James, the brother of Jesus, he's Jesus's little brother, says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And he didn't even have coronavirus on, on his radar map. But, you know, it's like I've told y'all, God's word is applicable to any circumstance we end up in life.
Amen. Yeah.
He says, because you know that the testing of your what? Your faith. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's a little stepping stone here. So we get the faith, understanding and getting into our heart and soul what it is that God promises this that he'll do for us and how he loves us, how he cares for us. Then that faith becomes real and it's tested through hardship. That's what James is telling us. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What is perseverance?
Keeping on.
To think of it in just a country way. It's keeping on, keeping on.
Yeah.
That's all it is. To keep on, keeping on. That is perseverance. Not giving up. Not throwing your hands up and saying, I'm done. Let perseverance, that's let keeping on, keeping on, finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Amen.
So the reason we go through these things is that we will be, as Sandy said, have spiritual muscles. That's the maturity and the completeness to realize, I'm going to say, that we lack nothing.
Amen. Yeah.
We go through it and we realize that we lack nothing. Faith is the believer's confident assurance in God. It's bedrock belief that God loves you, God cares for you, God desires that his children prosper. And that doesn't mean just that you have money in your bank account, okay? Many Christians ask me why they don't prosper when supposedly that's what God promises us. And I will say that most of our financial, emotional, and life hardships truly are created by our own decisions.
True.
We get ourselves in trouble because we just couldn't stand it. We had to go buy that car we didn't need.
Mm-hmm.
Or we wanted to...
Or buy the car we couldn't afford.
Or buy the car we couldn't afford. Or to go... buy that tractor that we really, really didn't need, or that wonderful piece of machinery. I've got a bunch of machinery in my barn. I'm thinking of things. And so we get into these financial problems. Often they're our own doing. Same with our emotional ones. We let our emotions control us instead of our faith, and our emotions get crazy. You and I have talked, and I don't mean to get personal, but about your relationships, and you've got a friend. You know, and if you sit and depend on that friend to fill your emotional cup, it ain't going to work.
Oh, absolutely not.
You let the Lord fill your cup, and then our friends bring us certain emotions of happiness and fulfillment. And, you know, I can't look to Sandy to fill everything I need.
Right.
It's not fair to her, and it's impossible. So, anyway, what I was going to say, if we fail to plan or we fail to put our time, talents, and treasures into the thing that God wants us to concentrate on, that's when we get in trouble. It really is. We end up investing in stuff we ought not to, and instead of investing in the things that the Lord would want us to do. We spend a lot of our resources pursuing things that God doesn't even intend for us to get involved with.
Yes.
I know I have in the past. And, you know, then I'd get strung out financially and have this problem or that problem. Many of us claim to have no faith or to be consumed by fear and anxiety, and we really never pour ourselves into God's Word. I've got a few folks in the congregation that let me know how anxious they are and all that they're worried about, but they really have no real life of study in the Scriptures, as far as I can tell. They might, and it's not to say that some of us don't have clinical, you know, problems with anxiety and things. We can have handicaps in all kinds of ways, but the solution for all this begins in the Word of God. One thing I've learned about the pandemic is that I think everybody's learned this, is there still things outside of mankind's control. The media wants us to think the environment is in our control.
Right.
If we do just the right thing, and I'm not saying that some of the environment isn't, but I'm saying a cataclysmic event that's going to destroy the world is not in our control.
Correct, yeah.
I'm not sure we can, you know, burn enough garbage out in the yard to change everything that way. But I'm just saying these things that a pandemic, once again, shows us there are things outside of mankind's control. There is no cure for COVID-19, as we said here. It's outside of man's control. God's in control whether men acknowledge it or not. And I think I heard the governor of New York the other day saying, this has nothing to do with prayers. This has to do with people have social distance. I thought, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. So I like to think of living out my faith as something called faith resting. It's resting in faith. And I had a pastor when I was a kid that talked about the faith rest technique. You know, that's kind of a fancy way to say the faith rest technique is just trusting God's going to do what he says he'll do. You know, and it begins with hearing the word, and then you meditate on the word and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and believe that you really mean what you said and that you're going to do these things. And I've made a point throughout this entire COVID thing, and Larry has, and Sandy and Kelton, to give y'all verses that we can meditate on that show us that God is in control and that he is the one in whom we can put our trust. So it's through the hearing of the word and reading it, and then we meditate on it, that we grow and become confident to live a life that's full of God's power. And it's the kind of life that gives no space to fear. You know, I've said to y'all over and over, there is no room for fear in the heart of a believer. My dad told me that. And if y'all remember me for one more thing, whenever God takes me from this earth, I want this church to remember, if I die before y'all do, maybe put up a big banner, there is no room for fear in the heart of a believer. And then
amen.
Sign up Pastor Faber, you know. That's what I want to be remembered by. And I try to live that way and not have fear myself, you know. And I think, Larry, it's only when we fill up our heart with faith that there's no room for fear.
Amen. Yes.
It's kind of like there's not enough room in your heart for both faith and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And faith will crowd it out. It'll push it out. And so hopefully over these last days, you guys have, of isolation, you've spent some time praying and not just, you know, running from project to project, and that you've listened to the Lord about what he desires for you to in moving forward and how you're going to live out your life. And like I said, it's kind of amazing if you did nothing else during all this but studied Psalm 23 that we dwelt on for 5 or 6 weeks, that would be enough. You know, that's going to be enough. Over and over, it's kind of cool because David is saying to us, I have a shepherd for any situation I'm going to get into. I have a shepherd that's going to provide anything that I need, that I truly need, emotionally, financially, physically, all the things that we need. And over, what I love about the Psalms, and we're going to continue with the Psalms probably next Sunday, is that they tell us over and over things like where David says in Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. He doesn't say, I'm not ever going to get afraid, Lord, right, because I trust you. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And so we're going to get afraid. That's the human side of us. David shows us what a relationship with the Lord is all about. Psalm 119, he says, Lord, I seek you with all of my heart. Please don't let me stray from your commands. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I have your word hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And these are the kinds of words that give us empowerment against what we see, against an illness. As we get back together, we're going to exercise caution that we can, and we're going to trust God for the rest. We can't go through the rest of our life just being fearful of getting a disease mm-hmm. and never meeting it, in my opinion. And I think all of y'all agree with me. I talked last night about whether, last week, whether or not it's a sin to worry. And I don't think maybe it's a sin. It's just part of the human condition, but it's not the way that God intends for us to live out our lives. Worrying, filled with anxiety and all of this. And as Sandy said, part of our growth comes from trials. And I think it's, why do you think that is, Sandy?
Well, it's just like when you're teaching a kid to ride a bicycle. If you never let go of the seat, the kid is never really riding. And I feel like it's the same way with the Lord, with us. You know, if we don't feel sometimes like, oh no, things are out of control, then you're never going to be able to know what you never will know. If God never puts you in a situation where you have to trust Him and trust Him with the strength that He's given you to go through your situation, you'll never know that you have that strength.
Amen. That is a good word. And I know in my own life, it seems like I've grown most when I've been in the most severe hardship and adversity mm-hmm. times. I don't know if y'all are that way, but mm-hmm. surely you are. I mean, and I think the Lord uses that adversity, as it says in James 1:2, to build us up and to let us grow and to be filled with the kind of faith that we're supposed to have. I found a verse from Psalm 61 I wanted to read today, and it is Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3. I'll let you read that, Sandy.
Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Isn't that cool?
For yeah. you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe.
Amen.
So what is David saying? Lead me to what?
To the rock, to a rock.
Yeah, but what's the cool word that follows the rock? I mean, that's what you got to say. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Lord, you're up there.
Jesus is a rock.
Amen.
Well, the thing that struck me is it says, I call as my heart grows faint.
He's down for the
last count. He's not saying, my heart's really strong now, so I think I'll call out to you. He's saying, I have no strength left, and I really believe that God hears our prayers.
Amen. I do too. You know, you said something, I just want to make a couple points.
Please do. Yeah.
You said something that really I think is very important if people were listening. When we're talking about relationships and relationships breaking up, a lot of times it's because we don't put God first. Because God has to be our source of happiness, or we're being unfair to the other person. They can't supply that.
No.
You're unable to. It's
impossible.
And the other thing I want to say is that I read this morning, I was studying in Daniel, and you talk about faith and faith saving us and working. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when King Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to bow down to this statue. They wouldn't. They said, we serve God.
We're not going to do that.
And the thing was, people were afraid because he said he'd throw them in a fire.
Right.
Well, they said, no matter what, our God will save us. He throws them in this fire, and God's in there with them. Jesus basically is in there
Amen.
With them.
It says there's one in walking there like around. The Son
yeah.
of Man.
So that's faith. By faith, they said, we're going to just throw us in there. We're going to.
And I think we talked as a congregation saying, we're not sure that the three in there even saw the fourth one.
Right. Yeah.
So the text tells us Nebuchadnezzar did, but I don't think those guys did.
And I don't know that they did.
And a lot of times we don't see the Lord's hand when we're in the middle of the fire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he's there holding us. You know, and Sandy talked about the growth that comes from hardship. Y'all remember that cool teaching Kelton gave us? It was about David being prepared for Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this week, and Kelton explained to us that David had wrestled, what was it, with a bear. He had also wrestled with a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and looked that up. It was in 1 Samuel 17:37. David said, the Lord who delivered me, this is when he's getting ready to fight, to get the faith to go fight Goliath. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will now deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So we go through these baby steps, you might say, of faith walking, faith resting, to make us mature to be the men and women that God wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so cool. And then what I was going to say is God's word has promises for us that are applicable in anything and everything we're going to come against in our lives. Even COVID-19, now that it's on the decline, we'll find ourselves in other battles. Paul gives that beautiful, beautiful promise to that Philippian church. He says, God will supply all of your needs, friends, that's what he's actually saying, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if you call on the Lord, guys, he will show you the way. And my favorite, probably one of my favorite life verses is the one I write in those Jeremiah study Bibles when I baptize there at the Grove. And that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean, Sandy, Faber, Larry, on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And you know what? That's just not a suggestion. That is a promise of God.
Amen.
When we find ourselves beat down in sickness or uncontrollable suffering, remember what Scripture tells us. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. So I kind of want to end today just saying, you know, guys, don't be anxious about anything. This is Philippians 4:7. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay. And it says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I am very proud of you as your shepherd, how y'all have conducted yourselves during this time. Nobody's fallen over the fear cliff. I've seen each of y'all run to the rock. It's a rock that's higher than you. Guys, I'm proud of you as your pastor. I'm proud of you. I've heard of no fear in our ranks. I've only heard of fearlessness. I've heard of some carelessness that I've not been real excited about. Some of y'all have been a little bit too careless, I believe. But you know what? God's worked all that out. And nobody's come down with anything. And it's important in this time, I think we saw very much what I've always said. That place in the Grove is not the church. The church is us right now. The Amen. Church is you guys listening to this. It's Sandy, me, and Larry sitting here ministering to you guys. That is the body of Christ. The church is each of us who are believers and followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus Christ, people who have put our faith and trust in him, believing that he's going to do what he says he'll do, and then we live like we believe it. So, Larry, I think you have a song for us to end.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, this song really, it really talks about that leaning upon Jesus and knowing that that he will take care of everything. It's called Didn't I Walk on the Water.
Did you write this?
No, I did not. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be all right. Lord, I see another battle, and it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at just how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Sandy, would you please close us in prayer?
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for hearing our heart's cry today. Lord, thank you that even now, if people have requests that they want to make of you, if they will just want to speak them quietly in their hearts to you, Lord, you will hear them and you will address those concerns. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for keeping us strengthened in spite of the fact that we could not be shoulder to shoulder and give each other hugs and see each other face to face. I thank you, regardless, you have strengthened us in your body. I pray that these words that were spoken today will indeed be true seed, true food for our souls, and help us to realize that you are right beside us. Just like Larry's song said, you're here with us, that you're walking through this with us, just like through the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're beside us, you're with us, and you're going to make us stronger, Lord. And I thank you, too, that just like the parent has to let go of the bicycle seat, maybe the kid doesn't want the parent to let go. But, Lord, that is the only way the child can learn to ride the bicycle, and that's the only way we can learn to walk by faith is when we have these difficult times. And, Lord, we thank you. We praise your holy name. And I just pray that everybody will have a blessed week. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.